It's kind of like the anonymity you find on the billboards on the internet. You know, people are willing, in fact, even the very nicest conversations on these blogs and these various bulletin boards inevitably generate into some gigantic fight. And people, so when they're anonymous and they don't have to vocalize it and they can type it, well, I'll tell you, they're tigers. Interesting human behavior. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Okay. Here we go. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Hello. Hello?
Hello, is this me?
Yes. Well, only you know that for sure, but it sounds like you.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, I object to some of the naysaying, I guess, in regard to the compelling evidence that global warming has been taking place. There's been so many scientists, climatologists that have been jumping ship, you know, in recent years, that have jumped over to the side that they do support the idea that human beings are impacting the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their major concerns, I mean, I've heard this over and over again, and I'm really hoping that this particular argument has been wearing itself out, but I would hear that, water vapor is causing most of the global warming. And that's true. And I'm not sure where he stands on that, but it is, in fact, you know, a true fact. But it's something that is happening as a result of carbon dioxide emissions. They begin the initial heating process. And after that, the heating process itself begins to cause an evaporation of water off the surfaces of lakes, rivers, and the oceans. And then you get the greenhouse effect turned on, or the Venus effect, I guess is what some scientists are calling it. And so what is your comment on that?
Well, Venus has runaway global warming. Robert?
I don't dispute what you say at all. I mean, one of the arguments for global warming is that, and this is without question, there has been an increase in the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere over the last 50 years. And the cause of that is generally ascribed to vehicles, the car emissions. Fossil fuels, I shouldn't just say car emissions, I should say fossil fuel. The burning of fossil fuels produces carbon dioxide as a consequence of that. I don't argue that at all. I do point out that you talk to enough scientists who are doing, once again, the hard work, and they're frustrated at, many of them are frustrated at finding a direct connection. There is a correlation. There is a concern because it's theoretically, it makes sense that you put enough carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, it holds the heat that comes from the sun.
Do you remember how many years, Robert, it took to form a stated direct connection between smoking and, I don't know, heart disease, lung cancer, and so forth?
I'm not sure they actually, even to this day, have been able to pinpoint the exact connection. I'm not disputing the connection when I say that, but I'm not even sure, even to this day, they understand the process of how the nicotines in cigarettes causes the problem. I'm not disputing the connection. I'm just saying I'm not sure they understand the connection even now. So this applies just as well to global warming and carbon dioxide.
Well,
now down the road, if we start to see clear evidence of the of global warming,
yes.
And I say to you, you know, give it another 10 more years. I said 15 years 5 years ago.
Yes.
I think the I'm beginning, 5 years have passed. I'm beginning to see. We're not getting anything to say otherwise, but it's still unclear the causes. You know, those cycles, the sun is a variable star.
Yes.
They know that for a fact, but they don't know how much it varies.
Uh-huh.
We've only been tracing the sun's radiant budget closely since 1978. Tree ring data and other data indicates that it has fluctuated in the past enough to change the Earth's climate, enough to destroy the Anasazi civilizations in the American Southwest, it's a suspect. Is that a factor in this? We can't do anything about the sun. We don't, you know.
I know.
You know, it's putting them all together, obviously, if carbon dioxide is a factor in global warming,
yes.
We have to try to deal with it. I agree. We adapt.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Hello.
Hi, Kent in Kansas City, and I'm normally a sports talk caller, but you got me hooked, and I'd just like to say, Art, I understand your frustration, all the people out there typing you. It's a privilege to be on the radio any chance I get. So, folks, pick up the phone. The trick is redial. My question, I am in the National Guard. I had the privilege of serving this country September down in New Orleans, and I heard you all talk about New Orleans earlier in the show. What I saw there was what I thought was pretty much a sacked city. And I'm really shocked to hear that they're rebuilding the Superdome. They plan on the Saints playing there next season. Even as I was there, they were rebuilding the city. Oh, and yes. When Rita came in, they ushered us up into Jackson, Mississippi, because they didn't think the levees could hold the water back for Rita after Rita brought us back down. And I've not heard that the levees have been repaired. And to me, it's absolute nonsense for them to rebuild the city if the levees aren't fixed yet, and how we're supposed to think that these sandbags can hold back more hurricanes. And I'm clueless as to why they're rebuilding and why they would expect anyone to move back in there. And if you all know something to enlighten me
that situation. I think that clueless is a reasonable word in this situation, Robert.
I'll bring it. There's a political component to this, of course, because the reason a lot of that rebuilding is going on is because of billions of federal dollars have been pumped in, and they've been pumped in because there's been a political demand that how dare you abandon these poor people. In fact, there's been a demand if you do abandon them, you're a racist. And so they want to dump billions of dollars in there and do it immediately without any thought. And that's where you get the cluelessness aspect. You know, they're playing games, political games, rather than looking at the situation honestly and dealing with it in a thoughtful manner. And so, I agree with the caller 100%. I mean, we first have to fix the problem before we start rebuilding everything there.
Well, they're not fixing the problem. I mean, they're not.
Oh, yeah, once again, this problem occurred, and the immediate response is let's have the federal government, Congress, dump lots of money in and save the day. And the truth is, it's not the federal government's job.
But see, here's the thing. If a whole bunch of money, no matter who dumps it in, Robert, is dumped in, and the new hurricane season comes, and it's almost upon us, it'll be here shortly, and another Category 5 hits New Orleans and wipes it out, besides the horrible tragedy that will occur again, there's going to be severe embarrassment.
Oh, without question.
Severe embarrassment.
Oh, without question. I agree. It is clueless. I'm not disputing this. I mean, it's absolutely insane. They keep postponing. They keep wanting to postpone the election of the mayor in that town. And it's basically because they're terrified he's going to lose. Because it was a disgrace how the local politicians in that area have not done their job. They spent money for the last few decades on things that had nothing to do with securing the city from flooding, from a hurricane. They looked the other way. And, yes, there's going to be a lot of embarrassment. And, maybe that's the best possible thing. I don't want to say that. I mean, we don't want another hurricane.
No, we don't. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Good morning.
Yes, I hope I'm on the air.
That's what I said. On the air has meaning.
Thank you. My name is Wally, and I'm from Reno.
Yes.
And first, Art, my condolences for your loss.
Thank you. And for the future callers, please, I'll just accept everybody's condolences, not to repeat it. Thank you,
okay.
Caller. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And Robert, you're a pleasure to listen to.
Well, thank you.
One thing I will tell you, I'm a scientist. I'm a geologist. Actually, I'm a mining engineer, but I study geology intensely. This thing about global warming, it is happening, and there's factual evidence to prove that it's happening, but man has nothing to do with it. Lake Lahontan was here, Lake Bonneville were here, both of those lakes were here 8,000 years ago, and they have dried up, and we're in a drying cycle. It's evident. You drive anywhere across the Great Basin, you can see lake levels on the mountain ranges when you're in the valley floors. And not only has it, that started 8,000 years ago. We're in a global warming cycle.
Caller, that may be. I don't think it matters whether it's man's hand, whether it's nature, whether it's a natural cycle, or man's hand in conjunction with a natural cycle. Once we finally agree that it's happening, then we can begin doing something about it. So,
how are you going to do something about the sun, Art?
Well, you're not. But if our climate is in fact changing, then where we can grow things will change, and we've got to begin planning ahead.
I agree totally with that, but this idea that the Kyoto Treaty is going to solve this problem is ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is driving this.
Let me insert.
Okay, well, it may or may not be. I mean, the sun is one theory. You mentioned it yourself, Robert.
Yeah, look, you say we have to start planning to deal with it, and
yes.
We just got to discussing New Orleans and how government plans how to solve these things. And most of the solutions most Americans today turn to instantly as well. Oh, we have to get the government to plan
yes.
our future if global warming is happening. And I personally think if global warming is happening, American citizens and world citizens are going to very quickly start to adapt where they grow their crops because the weather will change and it'll be a better place to grow here instead of there.
Right.
The property values will determine a great deal how we will adapt to that situation. People will adjust as it happens over a long period of time.
Certainly.
I think it'll be an enormous waste of money to ask the world's governments to try to unify and plan this. That won't work.
Well, there are some things that might well occur. It was a scenario in the movie from the book, and that is that, for example, an ocean current that we depend on for European relative warmth would just suddenly quit on us. There are
the
signs. That's
it.
That's right. And there are signs. It's beginning to splinter and stall. Very, very worrisome signs. And that would be a rather immediate effect on almost all of Europe.
The thing that has to be understood in all of this is this doesn't happen overnight. None of this will happen overnight.
Well,
it will happen over a period of 1 to 2 to 3 generations. And for a human species, that's in a long period of time to change and adapt. Remember, the United States was practically built in a period of maybe 3 generations, the whole country. We forget that at the start of the previous century, 1903, they flew the first plane. Cars were just appearing. By the end of that century, once again, we have a space station, permanent occupancy in space, and you have roads all across the world, not just in the United States. People can adapt very fast in these situations compared to the speed in which such changes will happen. To try to overplan it from the government, to quote George Will, the government is a blunt instrument, and it doesn't give you the flexibility. In fact, it restricts for flexibility.
I don't disagree with that. The government is a blunt instrument.
I mean, New Orleans is a great demonstration of how poorly they can do things. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't. The government is a player in this. We are in a nation. I don't believe in anarchy. We are humans do need government, and it has a function. But to see it as the first and only savior in this, I think, is a terrible.
Well, I agree with that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Hi,
Dr. Zimmerman.
I'm not a doctor.
No, Robert.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Zimmerman. Are you familiar with the Greenland ice sheet altimeter data from the
yes.
ERS-1 and ERS-2.
Yes, in fact, I was mentioning that earlier on. I actually was looking at the actual data earlier this evening out of curiosity.
At the above 1,500 meters, the ice sheet has actually gotten thicker by 6 centimeters per year in the last over those 9 years.
Yeah, if you look at the data closely, large areas of Greenland have actually gotten thicker. Large areas. Large areas have gotten thinner. There are some areas right on the edge of the eastern coast of Greenland that have dropped in thickness precipitously, but those are small areas. Overall, the balance is, to quote the scientists, is in the negative. It's shrunk more than it's grown.
Yeah, and there's one more thing, Robert, that's worth mentioning, and that is that as these areas that were previously ice become water, you have a change in color. You now have darkness, which, of course, absorbs sunlight, and there's a cascading effect. Now, I'm sure you read that.
I'm totally aware of that. The point is, though, that if you look at this data, the overall change in the ice sheet of Greenland is not gigantically in the direction of shrinkage. It leans that way. And once again, there is evidence that it does do cycles. We're not yet in a position to know for sure if this is global warming or if this is just a cyclical event. We just are not in a position to know that.
Caller?
I'm sorry. That's
okay.
Where I stand.
That's all right. Caller, anything else?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of historical evidence for warming trends in the past. For example, if you go to Sweden, you'll find that there are some sites associated with the Vikings from the 7th, 8th, and 9th century, which are seaports, but they're a couple of miles from the sea.
In fact, the period in which the Vikings were crossing over to settle in America was a period of warming. It might have been a factor in their ability to get to the Newfoundland. It is the same reason that the Anasazi civilizations in the Southwest at that time died off, because it was a warming period and their water sources dried up. It is suspected from tree ring data that occurred because of solar variation, but that's not confirmed.
All right.
The key to this is that we are not helpless. We can deal with the issue and learn what's going on. I'm just not convinced yet we have all the data to know.
Mm-hmm. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Hi.
Art, thank you for being a voice of reason on the issue of global climate change. I think it is entirely irresponsible and utterly outrageous that Mr. Zimmerman could state that the world scientific community is divided on the issue of whether or not humanity is contributing to the rise in global temperatures. Let me cite my source. Would you not agree that the National Academy of Sciences is the most esteemed body of scientific scholars in the world?
If you're referring to the National Academy report that came out about, maybe it's now 4 years ago, on the issue of global warming, I've read that report.
And subsequent reports. And those reports are very clear in stating that it is a consequence of human activity.
No, absolutely incorrect.
No, sir.
That is not what that report says. The report said very conclusively that we are unsure that human activity might be a factor, and in fact they put page after page of caveats into the report about what was going on. And
I will quote from the report.
What was going on. I'm sorry, sir, but that's just that
here's
the fact.
Right, wait,
article
wait.
Reports on it, and they were not conclusive in that report.
All right,
they favored global warming. They thought maybe human.
I'm reading it right now.
Robert. Hold on. What he wants to do is quote from the report.
Greenhouse gases are accumulating.
Let him do it.
Go ahead. Let me read specifically, quote, greenhouse gases are accumulating in the Earth's atmosphere as a result of human activities. Temperatures are rising globally. And that was the first sentence of this report. And
yes, you're reading
on
the executive summary at the beginning. That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, listen, you two, hold on. It's clearly my view that talk radio ought not be pablum, you know, it's boring. And that's not what we're all about. And this is certainly far from boring. My guest is Robert Zimmerman, and my caller was quoting from the executive summary, and in fact, the very first part of it. Correct, caller?
Yeah, that is correct, Art.
That seems like a definitive statement, Robert.
Well, I pulled up the report during the break because I wanted to be able to quote things from it as well.
Okay.
What has to be understood is several things. I could give you quotes. Later on in the report, they analyze their conclusions very carefully and very reasonably and point out the many large, and I'm quoting now, large and still uncertain information that they have on this. And they recognize that though they have certain conclusions, they're not sure what's going on.
Still, to open the executive summary like that would seem to be making the primary statement that they wanted to make in conclusion.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's the other aspect of that. This is a National Academy of Sciences report.
Yes.
And one has to be very careful how one views National Academy of Science reports.
Sometimes they're
very good.
Yes.
Sometimes they're not so good.
Oh.
This is not a bad report, by the way.
Wait, Mr.
One of the reasons I'm saying, I have been saying during this show, that the evidence is tilting towards global warming is the analysis of a report like this. But this report is not as conclusive as that first sentence makes it up to be.
It's an interesting phenomenon about the report itself,
that if you read the whole report, they analyze the situation very carefully, but they repeatedly talk about the uncertainties
and the unknowns.
All right, let the caller say something. Go ahead, caller.
Thank you, Art. What I'd like to say is what I was reading from were the bullet point conclusions from the beginning of the National Academy of Sciences Task Force summary. And I just wanted to read one additional sentence and then make a brief comment.
Go ahead.
That is, even in the most conservative scenarios, the models project temperatures and sea levels that continue to increase well beyond the end of this century, suggesting that assessments that examine only the next 100 years may well underestimate the magnitude of the eventual impacts. So, and in terms of the National Academy of Sciences, my goodness, that's the gold standard. The Academy was founded by Abraham Lincoln in 1863 to serve as an independent consortium of scientists to serve as a sounding board for national leaders on issues of science. So, I can't think of any more esteemed body than the National Academy of Sciences.
All right. Caller, thank you. Robert?
Once again, the report that the quote he just gave us was talking about what the models say.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the report, those are models. Those are predictions. A quote. Because of the large and still uncertain level of natural variability inherent in the climate record and the uncertainties in the time histories of the various forcing agents, and particularly aerosols that have to do with carbon, a causal linkage between the buildup of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and the observed climate changes during the 20th century cannot be unequivocally established. That's in the quote. That's in the report. They're talking about how they cannot yet say those models are right.
All right.
So the caller just quoted the report talking about how the models say it'll be devastating.
I think he said the most conservative models.
But those are still models.
Uh-huh.
And they themselves in the report say that the models are not only not quite matching what is happening, but that they don't even have enough data yet to trust the models.
Okay, all right.
They say that themselves. So I don't dispute this report, and I have, I haven't been saying no global warming. There's no global. I haven't said that at any point in this. I haven't denied global warming. I'm saying I want more data,
mm-hmm.
and so do the scientists.
All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I on?
You're on.
Thank you. I've been listening to this great show this morning, and I had a comment about the first part of the interview, how Mr. Bell was giving example after example of proof of global warming, and it seemed like Mr. Zimmerman was giving the slimmest possible reason or to dismiss or the exception to the rule to dismiss totally each specific proof of it happening, and the only motivation I could come up with in my own mind was that Mr. Zimmerman has a lot of stock involved in home heating equipment.
that's funny.
All I can think is possibly how you could look something right in the face and just say it isn't happening. So
well,
you don't want it to get out that maybe this will be a thing of the past.
No, I don't have stock in the home heating industry. I make no money. And in fact, I probably would benefit as a writer, a science writer, for global warming to be
well, then I'm
proven,
at a loss.
Because I'd write about it. It would be a major story, and I'd get benefit from it. You know, I, once again, I'm taking the position, I really am taking the position of the scientists I talk to who do the research. The National Academy of Science reports are done by people who go to Washington and join committees. They're not the people down there in the trenches doing the research, and that's the people I like to talk to. And what I get from them is not the global warming. I'm not getting from them no global warming. They're not saying that. What they're not denying the reality of their evidence. What they're saying is that they're not yet ready to say for sure what they know what's happening. Mm-hmm. You also have to make a distinction, Art, between theorists who make models predicting the future and the guys who collect the data. And there is a world of difference between the people, those two camps. And in fact, most of the people you hear from generally pushing global warming are the ones who write the models.
But, you know, there is this. I mean, the people that collect the data sometimes don't have the whole picture, and the whole picture doesn't form until the data is correlated, and then somebody goes, wow, look at this.
That's, I grant that. And in fact, that's what the models are for. That's trying to give us an overall picture. But the trouble has been, and this they don't deny, even modelers that I speak to, is that the predictions have not yet matched.
Well, actually, if you watch 60 Minutes last night, they referred to the models. And actually, they said, so far, they've been, frankly, spot on. And in fact, it may be a little ahead of some of the models.
Well, what I have seen is some models seem to work better than others, but they have not matched dead on. Not
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
And hi, Robert.
Hello.
Good morning. I've kind of believed that the Earth is kind of self-cleansing, and I believe that it's kind of a mass hysteria when it comes to recycling and the devastation that humans are causing on the planet. One of the things is, like, when I fly in a plane.
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Where'd he go? All right, we'll try this. Sorry about that, caller. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on Robert Zimmerman's assertion that global warming is not being directly influenced by human activity.
Okay.
And this has been going on for years. I remember first studying this back in 1978. And
Turn your radio off, please.
Turn off.
That's an absolute thing you have to do, folks. Yeah. Off, off, off.
Off.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, starting back in 1978, I started reading papers on it, too. No. Talking to reading materials on global warming back then. And it's just continued onward. And now I believe that there's members of the Reagan administration that were dead set against the idea of global warming have turned over to becoming advocates of human activity and global warming. And I know there's a clever political play now to call it climate change, which really doesn't do it justice because it is our direct impact on it. And you know, and every study I've ever seen says that it's human impact that's directly causing it. And years ago, I got an argument with well, I didn't get an argument because I got cut off. But I was listening to Rush Limbaugh years ago, and he had the thing where he was saying that you couldn't. There was no way for chlorofluorocarbons or any other heavy chlorine atoms to be lofted up to the stratosphere. But the proof had been made a long time ago when Mariner missions to Mars, when they saw the heavy soils being lofted up into the upper atmosphere of Mars, you know, screening out the sun, and that was proof positive right there that there was that activity at the surface of the planet can be lofted up into higher altitudes. So I have no doubt that we've added to the heat burden of the atmosphere. And
well, I think there's no question about it. For example, one day here in the desert, the air turned yellow. And it stayed yellow for about 3 days. And, you know, the news organizations were inquired of, and nobody gave us an answer for about 2 days. And then suddenly they found out that it came from, I believe it was Mongolia, some incredible dust storm or something in Mongolia. And our air turned yellow. So it's not that big a world, Robert.
Oh, I would agree. You know, Mount Pinatubo, the eruption of Mount Pinatubo, worldwide significantly lowered the temperature of the Earth.
That's right.
For a period of about 5 years.
Yes.
And there have been other Earth volcanoes that have done similar effects. The issue here, though, is, once again, I don't know what papers the caller is reading. I'm looking right now at that same National Academy report. The great uncertainty about human forcing factors presents a severe handicap both for the interpretation of past climate change and for the future assessments of climate change. It's not a known issue right now. That's all I've been saying, that there are a lot of unknowns. And I think it's a real mistake to come to a firm conclusion before you really have all the facts.
Have you ever been in Bangkok?
No, I haven't, actually.
No, it's a wonderful city.
I've been to Russia.
It's amazing. When you go to Bangkok, I think it's about 64-65% of the traffic police in Bangkok have lung disease. Mm. And when you actually walk in Bangkok on most days and you inhale, it hurts your lungs.
Mm. Mm. That's from the vehicles, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes, and no question about it.
I mean, you know, one of the things I'm hopeful is that, for example, L.A., the L.A. Basin
has cleaned up to some degree
today.
Yes, you're right. It's cleaned up to some degree.
But it's just we've improved our technology.
The problem here is that these scientists keep saying, even if we were to stop all emissions tomorrow, the future is already absolutely in concrete.
That's based upon those models, which are based upon a lot of uncertainty.
Nasty matter. Models. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Hello.
Yes. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling from New Orleans. But first, I'm a PhD in political science, and I'd like to make a Greenpeace and the Sierra Club. And the ecology is now the new religion for a lot of people. And if you look at these reports, I agree with Robert. The executive summary was written by these same sort of politicos in these organizations that, just as the left has captured most social science departments and most major universities in the United States, and you've got just a fever swamp of Marxism and neo-Marxists in the English political science sociology departments. In fact, cultural anthropologists and scientific anthropologists practically are at each other's throats because the scientific types think the cultural anthropologists are crazy, basically, but and deny all sorts of things because of their political stance. But here's my point. The executive summary is not the same as the basic report because the executive summary was written for political reasons. If you go into a lot of these reports and you look at these models, the uncertainty is there in all sorts of basic reports, but it's the political reporting of them. And some of these organizations, for example, in this, I don't know if it was this report or just the previous one, the chief scientist for determination of on the National Board for Determination of Hurricanes quit in protest over the misinterpretation of his data and linking the frequency of hurricanes to global warming, when indeed he did not say that, and then the president of the Academy of Sciences had to come out and apologize later to the guy for misstating his data
in the
report.
Robert, I think this young man should be taken under your wing and developed. He is another Zimmerman. I don't know what else to say.
You know, I live in the Washington area, and I go to National Academy Science meeting hearings, and in fact, one of the best National Academy of Science reports that came out in the last few years was the one specifically assessing Hubble's future, the Hubble Space Telescope's future.
Oh, yes.
And I was at those sessions. And regardless of how careful those scientists try to do their work, political components always get involved. And even if they do a good job, much of National Academy reports are political. They are not scientific.
You see,
Just be aware of that.
You wanted to say that. And I also knew that when he said it, you smiled.
I won't deny that.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Zimmerman. Good morning.
Yes, this is Olin in Culver City.
Yes.
Every 11 years, the sun reaches its peak output about the same time that Jupiter passes in front of Saturn.
And?
So didn't all of this global heating start around May the 5th, 2000, when Jupiter was in front of Saturn, in front of Uranus, in front of Neptune?
Okay, got it. What do you think, Robert?
Well, the issue of this, Jupiter and Saturn are not really a factor in this, but the Sun's solar cycle could be, and they don't really know yet that solar cycle's long-term history. For example, when Galileo first looked at the sun 400 years ago, there were no, he saw a few sunspots. For the next, like, 75, 80 years, there were no sunspots at all. And then suddenly the solar cycle began again. Why there was a period of almost 100 years where you had no solar cycle, we do not understand. No sunspots for almost 100 years. And there have been now, every 11 years, we have a cycle where the sun peaks with sunspots, and there is a fluctuation in its radiation budget where it increases slightly and decreases slightly. Very, not very much, but like a tenth of a percent.
Mm.
But it happens. But is it getting more or less? They're not sure, because we've only been measuring it very precisely since 1978.
All right, look, the show is over. What do you want to plug?
Well, I mean, you know, people probably got a whole mess of opinions about where I stand on a lot of stuff from this interview.
Sure.
I'm a very thoughtful guy. I really am trying to be as objective as possible when I write stuff up. And so if they read my books, especially Leaving Earth, the last one, they'll get a real sense of where I stand on all issues. And it's not partisan. I just like to find out what happened or what we know and then go from there. That's where I'm going. So I'd like people should try to take a look at Leaving Earth. They'd get a sense of at least where I stand on a lot of issues.
All right. Leaving Earth, available, what, Amazon, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, it's available everywhere. Bookstores, Amazon. It's my publishers, Joseph Henry Press. They're doing the next book on Hubble. And it's worth reading, because that book doesn't only cover the manned space exploration post-Apollo, but it covers how the United States and Russia changed over that period of time, and it was how that change reflected in their space program.
All right, buddy, that's it. We're out of time. Thank you for being here. Have a great night.
All right, thanks for having me.
It has been a pleasure indeed. Good night.